I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anilio, and you're listening to the Functional Nerds Podcast, and we have made it over the hump and into the 300s.
Indeed we have. That is Patrick Hester. He is an author and a blogger and a podcaster, and you can check him out at his website, atfmb.com. Follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anilio. I am a musician and a teacher and a podcaster, and you can follow me on Twitter at John Anilio. And today we are joined by Julie Cherneda. Did I get it? That was pretty close.
Right? She gave you a thumbs up.
She did. All right, good. Julie is an author, and she has 17 novels and numerous short stories in print. She's celebrated her 20-year anniversary with Daw Publishing, published many books there. And she also is the editor of quite a few anthologies, including this new one, which is coming out soon in the coming months. And that is the Nebula Awards Showcase 2017. She's a biologist. She has lots of cool things going on. Julie, thank you for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. This is terrific.
We're going to get into lots of different things. You know, why don't you, you know, tell us a little, because I, you know, we're here to talk a little bit about the anthology, but why don't you tell us a little something about some of your recent novels that you've put out?
Oh my, well, I've had a busy few years. I did my first fantasy novels, A Turn of Light and A Play of Shadow. They came out. And then I returned to the series that I started my career with, the Fan Chronicles. And I've written two, and I'm about to finish the third of the finale trilogy for that. So I've kind of been doing a lot of series dipping, if you want to say.
Now, have all of your novels been published through Daw?
All of my fantasy, yeah, all of my fantasy and science fiction novels, yeah.
That's good. Now, maybe, so, well, what other kinds of stuff do you write other than science fiction and fantasy then?
I actually started as a writer in 1985. I've written a lot of educational materials, biology textbooks, math, science of any kind, and popularizing science. So that's where I got my start, mm-hmm. But I was writing the fiction for fun all along.
That's excellent. Now,
before you go on, John, there's a gentleman that I met in Colorado Springs who wrote the definitive book on a specific kind of computer coding, and it hasn't changed. Nothing has changed. It's like a core computer architecture for like software development, and he wrote that sucker 20 years ago. And I got to tell you, if you're a writer, if you can write something like that, that's a consistent check.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Julie's really shaking her head like, yeah, consistent, but not as high as you'd like.
But consistent. I mean, yeah. It, you know, you get the textbooks kind of stuff, and that's a check.
It is. Although, I'll just briefly say that in the textbook industry, governments, people, everything changes. New information comes up, so pretty much they turn over on about a 10-year cycle. Hmm. So well past now for my 20-year-old textbooks.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I imagine the science stuff needs to be updated quite a bit. But
no.
Yeah, it's all good. It's nothing's changed in 30 years. Yeah. Now, you know, if I can ask a question about that, because I am a teacher now, I'm a music teacher, so it's different. But when you're usually with textbooks, there are several authors on it. So, you know, if you can, you know, maybe speak, even though it was probably a while ago, what is that process like in terms of contributing to a textbook? How does that work?
Well, I think one of the things about textbooks is you're in a massive team of people. Mm-hmm. So it would be not unusual to be 60 people working on mm-hmm. a book. And so my position ultimately was fairly high up in that because I like to be the final reader for things and to make things fit together. So I got to see everyone else's work. And I think the trick is to just keep yourself excited about it. And when you've redone Planet Biology 3 times, it's really hard to drum that back up for phloem and xylem. So it's nice to move on past that. So, but I was lucky that I could do science fiction and my biology.
So were you able to sort of take that experience and knowledge and apply it to the anthology stuff?
Yes, actually, very much so. Because one of the things I do know is being professional. You know, timelines, what people need, giving feedback. Those were skills I came into fiction with. And also were long on things, so... I think that's really helped me out a lot.
Well, you know, and let me ask you, I have a very good friend of mine. My college roommate is a biology teacher. He's been doing that for 20 years now too. And, the one thing that I remember him, you know, I was with him through all the 4 years of college while he was going through all of his science classes. So is organic chemistry as hard as all of my science friends say it is? They basically say, like, yeah, they put that early so they weed out the people who don't really want to go into science. So.
It's all true. I married a chemist just for that reason. Yeah, he helped me with organic chem.
Yeah, even people who are like really, especially biologists, they really, you know, organic chemistry kicks their butt. Like, you know, because my friend like barely passed it. I mean, then he did great the rest of the time through. But it's like, eh, we're gonna see who's strong enough to get through this to get a science degree here. Like, let's give you this because I think to usually take that fairly early on. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, pretty well second year. And the other one is, of course, for the biology side of it, is getting through vertebrate physiology, the first one that's comparative, mm-hmm. and we all were upset to get, you know, 60s, and the prof said, no, never get from me.
Now, I don't know, I have a 10-year-old son, and he was watching a lot of the Bill Nye on Netflix over the summer, and Bill Nye's got a new show coming out on Netflix in a couple months. I don't know what your feelings on Bill Nye are.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. He's fun.
I know. This show is supposed to be a little bit controversial, though. It's going to be a lot of like sort of climate change talk and a lot of that. A lot of like, hey, this is what's really going on, everybody. This is called science. We really can't argue with it. So here you go. So I'm very curious to see, because, you know, in the old stuff, it was a kid's show. I mean, it did not talk down to kids, but it was, you know, it was funny and everything. I'm very curious to see Bill Nye.
Except for the part where you said we can't argue with it, I was excited because I don't think science is definitive. Always about asking questions.
It is always about asking questions, and the best answers give you more questions.
Exactly.
And certainly there won't be the same kind of questions in Canada. we're closer to the permafrost. What can I say?
But I think that's my only thing, John. It should be about more asking questions and keeping asking questions because we can't just say, you know what, the world's flat. That's the way we figured it out. That's what the science says. The world is flat. Well, no, guess what? It wasn't.
The best thing to a scientist is when you're wrong.
Yeah.
It is absolutely the best thing because you get so excited by the possibilities. It's all fresh again. The passion is renewed. Hopefully you're funding, but usually, yes.
NASA released a video of the probe that landed on the Saturn moon, I think it was. And, it actually took video all the way down to it was landing. And it was the European probe that kind of piggybacked, I think, on Cassini.
Yeah.
And they specifically designed that because they thought maybe the moon might have rivers or oceans of methane. And so they wanted it to be able to float. And, you know, they had all of these preconceived notions about what they were going to find on this moon. And then as they're getting the video back from the lander, they're seeing like runoff and shadows that indicate other kinds of lakes and frozen. And they're just like, we didn't expect any of that.
It is a long way to look. That's the one thing about it. Having instruments to take your eyes out there.
Yeah.
That's the best. That's amazing.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you for correcting me, Patrick. I'm sure Bill Nye wouldn't put it the way that I did. He wouldn't be like, "I'm right, you're wrong," and stop playing. But thank you. You are absolutely correct. Well, with that being said, we're gonna move on to our next segment. Before we do that, I do want to take a moment to first of all thank our listeners for listening, and I want to give a special thanks to our patrons, the people that back us every month. They do that over at patreon.com/functionalnerds.
Who just upped their bid that you thanked them on Twitter?
Oh boy, now
is it Rob?
Rob?
What was it?
No. Oh no, John Klima, I think.
Was
I believe.
It, or, yeah, someone. Yeah, I know it was somebody.
Yeah, so thank you for the people who have upped their pledges each month. That is always awesome, and we appreciate it. And we appreciate everybody that backs us. It really means the world to us. And if you enjoy the show and you enjoy interviews with people like Julie here and other great authors and sciencey people and all that good stuff, you get value out of the show, consider becoming one of our backers. All you have to do is go over to patreon.com/functionalnerds, and you can find a level that works for you. And if that's not something that you can do, that's that's fine. But also consider spreading the word of the show. Tell a friend if you think they might like the show. Please let them know about it. And you can always leave a review over on iTunes. Leave us some stars, and that helps too. So whatever you can do to help, we'd appreciate it. So thanks very much. And let's move on to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
And let's go to Julie. And Julie, what is your pick this week?
Well, you gave me a choice of anything from apps to all the other different things. And I was trying to think of something that would be very, very nerdy. And I thought, this is not going to happen because all my tech was not working for me this week. So I went to a book. I've got an author, Karina Sumner Smith. And she has produced her first trilogy is out now. It's called The Towers Fall. And it's just indescribably wonderful. I don't know. It's a post-apocalyptic young adult, but it's not like anything else you've read before. And the way she's got magic is technology, and she's got these floating cities, but it's totally new, and I highly recommend it. So the first book is Radiant, Karina Sumner Smith.
Awesome. Yeah, I believe I have all three of those books. We are fortunate enough to get a lot of the books sent to us, so I believe I have those. So I will have to make those rise to the top, which I always say, and where's the bottom? And I don't know. It's and I read 100 books last year too, and I still can't put a dent in in this pile of books. But anyway, that was great. Thank you. That's a great pick, Julie. Patrick, what is your pick this week?
My pick is the new show on NBC called Emerald City.
Ooh, okay. I was curious about this, and it was sort of getting mixed reviews. I'm curious to hear your opinion about it.
I'm liking it. It's very different. It's of the recent reboots of The Wizard of Oz that I've seen on the channel formerly known as Sci-Fi and different places. This one is definitely the best, and they're doing a really good job with the production. They're doing a really great job with the cast. The cast is very different and diverse, and just a lot of powerhouses in there too. You know, I've been the guy D'Onofrio Criminal Intent, and then he was also the Wilson Fisk in the Daredevil show.
Yep.
And, he's playing the wizard.
Okay, cool.
You've got just some really interesting things going on with this. Now there are, if you're a writer and you sit down, you're probably going to do that thing where you're like, well, there's a plot hole. How did they get from here to there? Well, that's a MacGuffin, you know, and there's little things like that. But I think if you just turn your brain off, they're doing a really good job, and they're really reimagining stuff. And it's been very interesting so far. Dorothy, essentially, she came through the, this is not a spoiler because it's in the very first few minutes, but she comes through the Twister in a police car and actually hits the Wicked Witch in the car, like as she's coming out. There's no way she can stop her. There's like a pow, bam, hits her. And there's just some interesting things going on. They're playing with more than just the book, the single book. I think they're playing with all the books.
Cool.
And there's essentially a transgender character that's handled very, very interestingly. There's the Scarecrow is very interesting, although I was sitting there and they had him essentially crucified, and because I've done research into that because for a book that I was writing, I'm sitting there going, that's not how the Romans did it.
That may not have been my first thought while watching it, but good to know.
So yeah, but it's very interesting. It's good so far. I'm really liking it. They had a 2-hour premiere, and then they had the second episode as of this recording, and they just kept going with it. So I'm enjoying it. And they're calling it a series event, which I guess means that's when they do the BBC style, like 13 episodes or something.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's very good. I'm going to pick a TV show too, because Julie is in Canada, I believe. And I believe this show has, some Canadian, I think it aired in Canada first, but it is a Netflix original. And Netflix has been putting a lot of stuff out recently, so much that I think some of it might even be getting lost nowadays. It used to be when they'd have an original, they would just that's all you'd hear about for weeks leading up to when it was released. Now they just have so much stuff. Some of it gets lost in the cracks. But the one I'm talking about just came out about a week or two ago as of our recording, and that is Travelers. It is a time travel show that is on Netflix. And I was sort of interested, because I'm always kind of interested in any kind of time travel show. I'm kind of a sucker for that. But the reviews I read were good, and this is all you had to do to get me to watch it, was that it is the a lot of the creatives behind the Stargate series are involved in it. So it's Brad Wright. So if you watched a lot of Stargate, this is probably, although it doesn't really feel very much like Stargate, but you do see some alumni in the cast in bit parts here and there. You know, it's one of those Vancouver sci-fi shows where it's, you know, everything's
everyone's a friend. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So it's you'll see some familiar faces. You'll see familiar names in terms of the writers and directors and the creative people too, if you've watched a lot of those shows. And it is very well done. I'm really enjoying it. It's Eric McCormick is Will. The star. He was Will from Will and Grace.
Yeah.
And he's very good. And it's mostly an unknown cast other than that, but it is very good acting. It's a very interesting concept where basically the pitch of it is, in the future, the world's going to hell. So travelers are coming back from the future to try to paint, which, you know, that's a fairly common time travel trope, but their consciousness comes back and they go into a host body in the present, and they choose the host bodies because they have the record of when people die. So what happens is they enter their body like right before they would have died, and then they go on living their life, but then they're running all these secret missions to try to say that they have a lot of good questions in terms of like the ethics and the morality and it's very good.
So it's got a Quantum Leap flavor to it.
Yeah, a little bit, Quantum Leap.
Before your time.
Theorizing that one could time travel within his own lifetime, Dr. Sam Beckett stepped into the Quantum Leap accelerator and vanished.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
So yeah, think of it as a darker Quantum Leap. No, it's very good. Look, if you like time travel shows, if you liked Stargate, it's very worth watching. I think there's 12 episodes. I'm about halfway through it so far, but I've been watching it all week and I'm really enjoying it. So that is my pick. That is Travelers on Netflix. Okay, so let's, so much to get into, but the Nebula Award Showcase, how did this come about for you? Now, is this the first time you've done or have you done this in the past? Explain the story behind the Nebula Award Showcase.
I went to my inbox. There was a message in there from Mike Resnick! And it was the first time I'd been in touch with him since I don't think he remembers playing pool with me and Nancy Kraft in the early 90s. At a con. So I went, why is he emailing me? It must be a mistake. So I opened it up and he said, would you like to be, you know, we've chosen you basically to be the editor for this if you'd like. So I wrote back and what I wrote back, and I got it, I checked, was, wow, I didn't think I could do that stuff. He says, yes, we all think you can do that stuff. So people who had been watching my work and seen it thought I'd do a good job of it and invited me, and I'm tremendous honor to do this. I just was over the moon at the chance, and so that's how it happened. I was blindsided with joy.
Now we're gonna keep talking about the show, but I'm gonna just put it out there, which will probably come up later. Patrick and I both have lots of or several Mike Resnick stories that we could possibly share if we have time, but I don't want to get into that now because then it'll take up the whole show.
He's a darling.
Yeah, we've always had good experiences with Mike. But now you have lots of stories in here. It's quite a bunch of heavy hitters: Naomi Novik, N.K. Jemisin, Anne Leckie, Ken Liu. So many. But now, how does this process happen? How do you go about picking, and how does that happen?
Well, I asked the same question. What do I do with them? And they said, well, we'll send you a couple of the old ones. You know, the ones already done. They're all done by a different editor. And just see what, you know, you do your own thing. And I went, really? So I had a word constraint, and that was it. They said, this many words, and you've got to have the as many of the winners as you can get in there. So what I chose to do was different from the ones I've seen before. I really wanted to have excerpts from the first novel, like the novel nominees, because that hasn't in the past been there. That went really well. I made them give me 1,000 words from their books, and they all went, what? So it was good practice for them too, but it was very tasty stuff. I was very pleased with how that came out. And also Neil Clark, who does the editing on SIP, was Bulletin Magazine, had done such a, he and his staff had done such a great job of the Nebula issue They interviewed each of the attendees. So I was able to pull that material and put it in. So each story is introduced in their own words, which was something else I really like to do in an anthology, is get the author right there with the reader, because each story should be like a nugget. Mm-hmm. So I think that came out really, really well. And I was also, because it was my choice, I could put in the winning poetry from the science fiction poetry winners from the year. That was fun. Poems are great. I can't I'm afraid of poets, quite frankly. They're scary. I need a novel to do what they do in 5 months. But so no, it was a great experience. And then I was able to get essays on Terry Pratchett from Michelle Segarra, who's a wonderful writer up here, very eloquent and made me cry. From CJ Cherry, Betsy Wilhelm at Daw was more than happy to let me have her essay, this grandmaster and my favorite writer. And I got Mark Asquith, the television producer in space, our sci-fi channel up here, to talk about Fury Road and Mad Max's win of the Bradbury Award. So there's a lot there that's not just the reprints of the stories, but I'm really happy with that.
So let me back up a minute. So what you're saying too is, in addition to the various stories, there are excerpts from novels in this
yep.
collection. There,
yep. Yep.
That is it. Now, and that's not something that's typically done. And I think that's a wonderful idea, because if you're in this community and we live in a time where we're spoiled for choice. There's so much out there. So I think that's great to get a little bit of an excerpt from a novel. Just to sort of sample and see, that was pretty cool. Maybe I'll have to go out and buy that. But that's a great idea. I'd never really seen that before.
Well, part of my motivation was that, as myself, I knew from looking at these in the past, I couldn't get my hands necessarily on the short stories and novellas and other things. I could find the books, but I had nothing to go running out and get. So I wanted that little bit of a teaser as well. Also, although I didn't realize it at the time, Lawrence Schoen, Dr. Schoen, was the winner of the O'Donnell Award, pardon me, for helping and being just fantastic in CIFWA. He's also has his novel was a nominee, so I could get him in there twice, which was really kind of cool. But the best part, of course, was CJ.
Yeah, I met her at a con about 2 or 3 years ago. It was in Texas. I was the music guest there, and she was the... Oh, I don't remember. I'm trying to think of, because depending on when they have you, sometimes you're the author, guest of honor. Sometimes you're because I remember Patrick, when we went to Capricorn, I believe Matt Forbeck was the author guest of honor. And who was the gaming guest of honor? It should have been the other way around. It was Margaret Weiss, right? That was So Matt was like really embarrassed. He's like, I shouldn't be the author guest over. Like, that's ridiculous. But that's just the way down. They sort of rotated around. So I forget what CJ's title was there, but she was really a delight to have around. And the cons are great if you ever get to be a part of them, because you get to spend time with, sometimes like these legends, like CJ, you're hanging out there. And it was also, a couple of wonderful artists. And I don't know, depending on the convention.
Who were we sitting? We were sitting at a table eating in the green room at Capricorn, and we didn't realize that we're sitting there with Gene Wolfe. Yeah.
Good company to keep. Oh, CJ and I have a wonderful history. We're both published by Daw, and mm-hmm. Daw is very much a family. Mm-hmm. But I have revered her work since it first came out, and I still to this day have trouble talking to her. So my family does it for me. So I am that absolutely starstruck person. So when I found out she was the grandmaster, it was after I'd taken on this job and that I get to feature her. So she actually asked me to pick the excerpts to go in. So I actually got to get work, her work, and hold it in my hands and put into my own little thing. So
at the end of the month, I'm going to be teaching at a conference, and it's a smaller conference, and Jim Butcher's going to be there. And as longtime listeners know, I'm a huge Jim Butcher fan. And the times I've ever gotten to talk to him, not being a fanboy has been the hardest thing ever. The only time that my fanboyism exploded and I could not control it was when I did a podcast interview with Vonda McIntyre. Because she had written so much Star Trek.
Yes.
Back in the day, and I was a huge Trek nerd. So yeah, and she finally just gave in, and she realized that's all we're going to talk about, and so we're just going to talk about it. Let's just talk about Star Trek, Patrick. Come on, let's go.
Can I give you a Vonda McIntyre tale?
Absolutely.
Adventure? Oh yes. So I was revisiting my series, and I wanted to do as much as I could to bring it back up into people's eyes. And I thought, well, I need to get some blurbs, you know, some good quotes. And I was trying to think who I could get to quote. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm just going to go to my wish list of people that I wish would had read my work and see if any of them had read my work. And I contacted Vonda McIntyre because through CIFWA, it was a little easier to do. And I loved her stuff. The Moon and the Sea is just a fantastic book, and the Star Trek books. And she wrote back and she said, absolutely, send it to me. I'm going to have to do it this weekend right away. And I went, oh, great, you know. And then she sent me back this fabulous blurb, which is on my book. I was so pleased. And then I found out that she was on her way to be the guest of honor for the last Worldcon. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, so I was that last bit of unfinished business before the guest of honor of the Worldcon was leaving. Oh my, if I'd known ahead of time, I would not have asked her. She's so gracious, such a marvelous person.
Oh, that's great. This doesn't come out for a little while yet. It's
May 16th.
Like, yes, that is when it comes out. So, and when do the, you know, so is this sort of a compilation of what is going to, like, of what just happened with the Nebulas? Does this come out to help promote the Nebulas? Like, how does that work in terms of the publication there?
It will be launched at the Nebula Weekend.
Okay.
So it will be a celebration of last year. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, sort of pulling us all together, and then we'll find out who gets the award for this year, and some other person will then start doing the compilation.
Mm. So
the next one.
Where is that going to be held this year?
It will be in Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Yes.
Pittsburgh. Does that move around every year then?
Yeah, it does. It's often in New York. This will be good. This is a driving distance. I've never been to one before, but I'm definitely going to go to this one.
Mm. Yeah, I was at a con in Pittsburgh before. It's kind of a nice city to do a con in, so it's good. All right, now before we begin our descent into madness, is there other things you want to mention before we do start wrapping it up? Because I know you have so much going on, you know, between your biology and between your writing and between your editing. What else can you tell our listeners?
I do have some news coming out. I was hoping I could announce it for you guys, but it's not actually going to happen for another 4 or 5 days, but I will be doing another anthology, a very new and different sort. I have my next new book comes out in October on the exact 20th anniversary of the book that started it all.
Nice.
And it's called To Guard Against the Dark, and I get to end everything, hopefully in a way that other people like, but I like it.
So. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, so
yeah,
Patrick. Yeah, Patrick. I know you had some stuff you wanted to say before we do our official wrapping up. So I wanted to give you some time to do that. So why don't you tell us a little bit? Then we'll circle back to Julie and give her stuff, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay. Well, as I was mentioning, I'm teaching a lot this year. I'll be teaching Scrivener, podcasting, and critiquing at a couple different events that are happening like back to back. So the first one is the Superstars of Writing, which is February 1st to the 4th at the Antlers Hotel in downtown Colorado Springs. And that includes classes from Kevin J. Anderson, Rebecca Mesta, I think is how she says it. Jody Lynn Nye, our friend Jody. I'm hoping she brings me some Doctor Who pictures to look at. And Jim Butcher, obviously,
right.
To name just a few. And I'm teaching 3 Scrivener classes there and 1 on podcasting. And if you want to know more about that or you want to see if you can register, you just visit superstarswriting.com. And they've got some information there. But also on February 1st, so I'm going to be at Superstars in all day. And then I'm going to leave and I'm going to run over and be the guest critiquer at the Pikes Peak Writers Open Critique Night that same night. It's going to be a really long day for me. That's hosted
so we're probably
by
probably not going to record a podcast Saturday, I'm assuming.
That's a Wednesday.
Oh, a Wednesday. Okay.
That's a Wednesday. So yeah, that's hosted by Pikes Peak Writers and it's run by Donnell Bell. And the whole idea behind that is it's an opportunity for new writers to get a sense of what it is to be critiqued and what it's like to be in a critique group. And they can do that before they decide to actually join a group. They can just get a little feedback, and it helps them build up that skin. Because as you know, when we write the greatest thing in the whole wide world, and there's nothing wrong with it. And it's going to be, you know, just huge. And then when someone tells you that you've done something weird here, they, you know, it just crushes you. So I'm really excited about that. Huh? I'm sorry?
It should be cookies.
Yes. it's absolutely free, but if you want to be a part of that and you want to actually have pages critiqued, I think you can put in 8 pages. You have to email Donnell, and you have to secure a slot, and they fill up really, really quickly. So visit pikespeakwriters.com and click on events to find out more about that. And then the last thing that's all coming up here very quickly is I'm teaching a half-day workshop on Scrivener at Pikes Peak Writers Conference, which is Thursday, April 27th. Now, that one, you can just get that day for $90. You don't have to buy the whole conference. And then you can take my class in the afternoon, and you can pair it with a morning class like World Building with Kevin Hearn and Mike Braff. Or,
oh, I love Kevin.
Yes, Kevin's awesome. Or Kevin Eikenberry is doing something on the military. So, you know, to get the military right in your stories. And Christine Mandeville is doing something about how to, like, if you're a beginner, how do you take an idea from just a concept to an actual finished manuscript? So you could pair one of those classes with mine in the afternoon, or you could also, there's another one, Donald Moss is teaching a class that morning, but his is $20 extra. I'm going to probably be doing some other stuff at the conference over the weekend that you would have to purchase the entire conference for. I don't have those details yet, though. But if you visit pikespeakwriters.com, you can find out more information. You can register for the Thursday thing or for the whole conference. It's totally up to you.
Nice.
Could I put a quick shout out for a convention I'm going to?
Absolutely.
Please do. Yes, please.
Because
do.
It was almost going to be my pick of the week, but because it's a convention that I highly recommend for writers, especially. It's the Ad Astra Convention in Toronto. It'll be May 5th to 7th. Brandon Sanderson is going to come. Nice. Kristen Britton, Ann Bishop is going to, and always, it's about 70% published writers are there. It's like a mini world fantasy in a sense, but so much fun. And they have one of the best masquerades, too, which I always love.
I love the Green Writer books from Kristen.
Oh, I'll tell her that.
She's and my mom loves those. Those got my mom back into fantasy.
There's a new one coming out. You know that?
I did not, but my mom asks me every once in a while.
Oh,
Is there a new writer book?
Yes.
So that's Ad Astra, and that is in Toronto. And that's, say the date one more time.
May 5th to 7th.
May 5th to 7th. Very good. And Brandon Sanderson's going to be there. He's my favorite.
We like Brandon. Yeah, he's cool.
I do. I almost picked one of his books that I just finished this week, too. I'll have to pick it on the next episode. And I also should mention, which I don't think I did, you could follow Julie on Twitter at Julie Cerneda. And I will spell her last name for you right now. It is C-Z-E-R-N-E-D-A. And that is also her website. Her website is just Cerneda.com, C-Z-E-R-N-E-D-A.
And yeah. Julie, when you're writing your name, your last name, do you put the little slash in the Z?
Oh, if I'm printing it, yeah.
Yeah, I do. Well, right. I it's do. Ed.
Yeah. And John.
And in my sevens.
John, have you, I do the seven too. Have you looked at White Sand from Brandon?
I read it. I read the first issue. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll have to, or the first, because it's like not being released as a.
Yeah.
It's like one big. It's just a graphic novel. It's not like a floppy at all.
Yes,
I did read that. We will have to talk about that in a future episode. All right, everybody. So that is Julie's information. Go get her books and go get the Nebula Award Showcase when that comes out too. And follow her on Twitter and check out her website and do all that good stuff. She's a delightful person and a great author and a great editor and all that good stuff. And we were happy to have her on today. Julie, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Once again, for us, if you enjoy the show, consider becoming one of our patrons over at patreon.com/functionalnerds. And Patrick, I know you had your all spiel, but anything else before we go?
Nope, that was it. Thank you.
Awesome, everybody. All right, you have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Mo. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.
still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.